Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, pig. Piggy.
Piggy.
Why you gotta switch it up like that?
I wish I had DJ controls on this thing so I can mix it. How can we mix Hey Pig with Compton?
We can't. But you know, there's a song that we need to download for the show.
What's that?
It's called Niggas in Paris by Kanye West and Jay-Z. It's a good song, man. Can we just fast forward to the real motherfucking G's part?
No, it doesn't let me fast forward. It's just like volume and play.
What kind of, you know what? I checked into there's a place called Podbean that does the same thing for like $5 a month, except they have like a massive amount of storage and better controls and shit, so.
Really?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, we are going to defect from Blog Talk.
It's too bad, because I'm a loyal Blog Talk radio guy, but.
Yeah, I know. That British bitch, that, you know.
I know, she gets my dick hard sometimes.
Oh, man, that's the one. I wanted to backtrack there for a second. Are we allowed to say the word nigga?
You probably are because you're a Puerto Rican.
I'm undercover Puerto Rican.
Really. Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I really don't think I am. But, like, I've used it in front of black people to talk about, never to talk about other black people,
right.
But to talk about white people. I'll be like, that nigga is crazy.
Yeah.
And they don't care. Like, secretly, they might be like, yo, that dude is racist.
Well, maybe. The thing that we grew up with, people, like, saying that, you know, like, and us saying, because we're...
Yeah, that's the weird thing is, like, in New York, a person, like, we grew up, I mean, calling somebody a fag was normal.
Yeah.
And it didn't necessarily mean that they were gay. It meant that they were a pussy.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they were like a little bitch, you know?
You're a fag. But is that word ever going to be like an N-bomb?
It's pretty bad these days. I mean, you really don't want to... That's not something that you want to say in polite company either. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can like...
Polite company.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, everybody I know from New York, like, they call each other, you and I call each other nigga all the time. Like,
yeah,
it's just,
you're my nigga.
You are my nigga, but, like, the fact is that I would, even if my friend was black, like, I would never call him my nigga. I just would never, ever do that.
Yeah, no. When I was a kid, though, and before I really realized, I don't know how I didn't realize, but I did, though.
Well, like,
all the time.
Yeah, no, I did too. Like, that's just the thing. Like, my black friends called me nigga all the time. They'd be like, oh, that's my nigga Mike or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I've been called it a bunch of times. I mean, it doesn't even bother me when people call me honky or cracker.
Well, you know what? When I was a young kid, and it's related to what we're talking about. Kids used to call me honky and cracker every now and again. I guess it did bother me.
Well, of course it did, because you're fucking Spanish, dude. You're not... Really,
well, it's not, because they said it venomously, as in...
Of course.
I mean, when I would say, yo, you know, nigga, please, it would be just like, my man, please, you know, it's not like...
Yeah,
I
know.
But they didn't, you know. And I've definitely told you this story before, but the time that I got jumped in a pool when I was a little kid.
Oh, was that the one where they peed on you?
Yeah, no.
Well, by the way, honestly, all kidding aside, watch the phone lines, because Mickey might be calling in today. He may have our first caller. He texted me and said he's going to try to call in around 6:15. So
we may have our
first ever caller of the day.
Got my eye on it. Well, like I was saying, my story is the following. I was a little kid, like 10 years old. I was at a public pool in the projects, Edenwall Projects, and I was in the pool, and I was a little fat kid. I had titties. I had man tits. So a black kid jumped on my back and grabbed up on my man boobs. And I felt uncomfortable, so I shook him off, and I was like, get off me, nigga. And he was like, what? What'd you call me? And that was it. Him and his boys jumped into the pool, tried to drown my ass.
Oh.
I was calling for help. Some Puerto Rican lifeguard, like, looked at me and looked away. He didn't give a fuck.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, yeah, betrayed by my own people. And I don't know how... Rob called my,
your cousin
little,
Rob, for all of the listeners out there.
My little cousin Rob, who, you know, is only 2 years younger than me, called his mom, my aunt, and she came over and got me out alive, barely. They would have fucking drowned me in there. And and then the kid came over afterwards, and my aunt was like, "What? You know, why'd you try to kill him?" And I guess, you know, he felt robbed, but he's like, "Why'd he call me nigger?" But I didn't tell. I was just, you know. And that's actually the first time I woke up about that word and, found out that it was an explosive word that almost got my ass killed.
Honestly, I think it's, I mean, just based on where we grew up with and the interaction, like, I would personally, unless I was really, really good friends with the black dude, and even then, I would still feel self-conscious about using it. But, like, I call my Spanish friends, my white friends, like, you know, if you're my homeboy, you're my nigga. Like, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up with that word just being, you know, a placement word, you know?
We grew up around a lot of black people, you know? It was something that everybody called each other. I mean, I think it's different for people like us, but even then, I'm still sensitive enough to be like, well...
Yeah, if we have to be completely and utterly conscious about it.
You have to be very conscious of that word. And the same thing goes with fag. Like, even though me and my... And Louis C.K. has a great bit that we should try to find about the word faggot. Like, he doesn't apply that word to homosexuals.
No, I actually never have, I don't think, ever in my life.
No, I don't think I've ever actually called a homosexual a faggot. I mean...
Well, it's definitely some guys that were fucking pussies that I definitely...
Yeah, now it was a little bitch that I've called a faggot before, but the fact is that... I mean, this is what Louis C.K. said, is he's got a lot of respect for guys that take cock in the mouth, because that's not... He said it doesn't seem like a fun activity. He feels bad for women that have to put his cock in their mouth.
Damn.
You know, like a dude that does that, it's just, he's like, you know, more power to you. Like, I could never, ever put a dick in my mouth. So, you know, respect to you for doing that. But he sees, like, he said, faggots are not gay people, but gay people can be faggots. Like,
yeah,
if there's a guy, if you put a dick, you put your dick in some dude's mouth, in his face, and he's like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, that's a faggot.
Yeah, because you know what you're supposed to do with it.
Yeah, so you're being a little bitch about it. Just put the dick in your mouth and shut up, for Christ's sake. I mean, don't be a faggot.
What are you here for?
Don't be a faggot. Put the dick in your mouth and shut up. Right?
That's good.
But you know, I mean, and that's his idea of the word, and that's the way we grew up using the word. Like, I mean, I can't remember making fun of anybody for being gay.
No, never in my life. Never. I mean, when I was a little kid, we had a gay uncle. We had a gay uncle.
Actually,
and it was, you know...
Remember when my name on MySpace was Harry Potter's gay uncle?
Yeah.
I love that name.
We made fun of him, but that was, you know, family. And, you know, and it wasn't that, you know, making fun of him for being gay. It was more like, well, I guess it was. It was just
his
mannerisms and being, you know, kind of wussy-ish.
You're a total homophobe, and I mean, it's never been more obvious than when you're gagging on my cock.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, as we all know, homophobes are closet homosexuals.
Well, they say 90-something percent of gay bashers have high homosexual tendencies. If you actually pass the threshold into actually being physically, you know, accosting someone, it's because you have some kind of gay... tendencies.
I honestly feel like 90% is low.
Well, I'm not saying like in the high 90s, like 99%. Like once
I,
you know, if you beat
that's
up
what I'm
gay
saying.
People,
I think it would be really rare for somebody who would cross the threshold into beating somebody for being gay for them not to have some kind of weird gay thing going on themselves.
Definitely.
I mean, I would say it's like a 0.01 percentile of people who bash homosexuals who are not gay.
Definitely. You remember that documentary series for HBO, America Undercover? Did you ever watch that?
Yes.
That was pretty cool, man. I don't think they have that anymore. But, yeah, I mean, they interviewed, like, a bunch of gay bashers, and they broke down and were like, yeah, I actually now am an out-of-the-closet homosexual.
Well, I mean, it's if you think about it, it doesn't even have to progress to gay bashing. I mean, all we have to talk about is, I mean, because gay bashing to me isn't just beating the shit out of a gay person. It's also like these asshole evangelists, these people who go on TV and try to fund legislation to prevent homosexual marriage, who are seriously vocal.
Yeah, blue in the face,
people
talking
yeah.
shit all the time. Those people have to have. You know, it's like that sexual scientist that you know, like literally wrote the book about sexualities, like in the 50s or whatever.
Liam Neeson played him in the movie about him. What the fuck was the name of that guy?
I don't know. We'll find out later. But you know, he said that there was like a gauge. You know, one, you don't really have any homosexuality tendencies, and there's a five, you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's different shades of it, and those people would definitely have to have at least like a three or a four in them. You know what I mean?
Those guys were had their homosexuality repressed by the probably Christian community that they were in, and then proceeded to ensconce themselves in that Christian community, thinking that that was the answer to their homosexual thoughts, and they just wound up repressing it to the point where it actually leaks out by them. You know, that fucking guy Ted Haggard. The guy who was that giant megachurch head who, you know, sponsored a whole shitload of anti-gay legislation, and they found out that he was, like, doing meth off of some dude's dick, some gay prostitute's dick.
No, was it?
Dude.
Is that detail true, meth off the dick?
Well, maybe not meth off the dick, but he was doing meth with a gay prostitute that he used to have sex, that he had sex with.
Ah, that's fantastic. I love it.
Isn't that wonderful? Don't you love hearing stories like that?
I revel in that, man. I want to just dance when I hear shit like that. People are so fucking volatile against something, just being that after all themselves. And
that's justice
aspect
to me. If he could get gangbanged in prison, once for every anti-homosexual statement that he made, then justice would be served. It's good enough that he was removed as the head of the church, and he was vilified on television, and he was exposed and all that shit. But if he could actually have to take it in the ass from somebody he didn't want to have sex with, because that, to me, is the equivalent of trying to destroy the rights of a gigantic section of the human populace.
By the way, we have our first caller here, 914-774.
That's got to be Mick. Got to be Mick.
38. Can't say
what's
the
up,
last
fellas?
Because...
Just
whoa!
Fucking
whoa.
Oh,
Mick,
shit.
What's going on?
What's going on, my man? How you
what's
doing?
What's up, sexy? I haven't seen you in ages.
Nothing much. I just hit you up when I heard you guys talking about homosexuals and stuff, so I'm in. What are you talking
really?
About?
Really? Us talking about homosexuals. Why do we talk about homosexuals so often? I don't...
Because we're secretly all gay for each other.
Jesus Christ.
Pretty much.
And Mick has the
proof. I don't think it was a secret anymore.
Oh, guess not.
Well. See, another friend of mine who said something about my dick being small or horrible or whatever the other day.
Oh, that's
I was
right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, how the fuck do you know what my dick looks like? And he goes, oh, Mick told me.
Which is not true.
So, Mick, really, I don't remember you ever seeing my penis. I mean, there are a lot of blurry times, but I really don't remember you seeing my penis.
No, I've not seen your penis. Sorry.
No, he had his eyes closed. That is correct.
So when he had it in his mouth, he wasn't looking at it.
Exactly. So technicality, yes. Yeah. I've never seen your dick.
Okay, wait.
Exactly.
I'm gonna.
I know every vein in my mouth, but I have none.
Right.
I'm putting Mick on the spot here. I'm gonna put Mick on the spot right now.
Okay.
The other day, he texted me and he was like, "Oh, I just got home. This was Sunday when we did our show. He's like, "Oh, I just got home. This is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I know he doesn't work on Sundays. So what kind of mischief did you get up to the night before, my man?
Oh,
if you were
no,
home, like,
it was,
3
it was,
o'clock
it was
in the
nothing
afternoon.
Like that. I was honestly running errands. It was very lame and boring. I just got back later. On the
I was hoping maybe you spent the night.
No,
nothing,
I have
no good
story for you in that regard. Sorry.
Jesus, guys.
I need
bachelor material. I'm married. I need to hear, oh, I did this, I did that.
Yeah, you need some vicarious sex
stories,
right?
I'm working on it, but I have nothing imminent on the horizon.
Okay, well, since we have you here, and this is good material, and it's up to you, Mick.
if you want to tell the story, because it's your story.
Okay.
Do you want to tell the Jubold story?
The which story?
Jubold story.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
No, you tell it. It's your story.
Yeah, you had the caller. Go ahead.
I'm not going to tell the story. Why am I going to tell the story?
Okay, well, that's what
your
I'm saying.
Show.
You don't have to tell it. I'm just...
Go ahead, Mike. Tell the story.
All right. I guess Mick was at a bar one night, and he was dancing with this, like, little piece-of-ass Spanish girl. And see, Mick, the great thing about Mick is that Mick is really down on himself. But Mick actually is, like, he's really good with chicks, believe it or not. I've never been able to
really
figure this out. But no, you really are, actually. Louie
floor,
and I have seen that.
Chicks like dancers, man. That's, yeah, some guy who's going to make a fool himself on the dance floor, they'll, you know.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, but.
They'll fuck a clown, basically. Like, oh, look at look like a clown
on the
why not?
The making a fool on the dance floor thing only happens if I'm really drunk, for the record.
You know what I mean? Like, you know,
well,
probably eat my butt in the bedroom, so.
Proof positive that bitches will fuck a clown is the fact that I actually have sex. I mean, that's proof positive right there.
That's a good
women
point.
Sleep
that's a good
with
point.
Me. Exactly. So anyway, so Mick is like, he's dancing around with this hot Spanish chick, and he winds up, like, making out with her and shit or whatever. And, you know, they're talking, they're hanging out, and I think he's trying to close the deal at the end of the night. He's outside with her talking, and... what did you do, Mick? Did you ask her to go home with you, or did you say what next or whatever? And she's like, oh, I'm not going home with you. And he's like, why? And she goes, you bored.
Yeah, she was. I forget. It was a little cloudy, but it was something along the lines of like. I don't think we got to the point of where I was going to close the deal. I think I was just kind of still like testing the waters and feeling where I was at that point. I think it was still kind of in that, like, coffee.
By testing the waters, do you mean... By testing the waters, do you mean you stuck your toe in her vagina?
I was going to say, I don't mean fingering her in public, no.
Oh, all right.
It's not caustic.
No,
all right, we can go forward.
I think I was still trying to see... Like, I don't think it was a done deal or anything, like, you know, to that extent. But I thought I saw a shot, so I was trying to, like, figure out, you know, where we go from here, because she wanted to leave. So I was like, all right, so where do you want to go? And she just kind of, like, hesitates, and she's like, I think I'm just going to go home. And I was like, okay. And I was kind of confused because we were having a good time, and, like, I thought I was going to get somewhere. And I was like, and she had, like, she spoke, like, really poor English. And I was like, well, why do you want to go home? Why don't you want to stay, or why don't you want to come with me? And she goes, and she points to my head. And I'm like,
oh, God.
I'm like, what? And she goes, you're bald. And I was like, what? And she goes, bald head. And I was like, wait.
Head.
So we just spent like the last like hour together, and like we're hanging out, we're dancing, we're making out, we're having a good time. And now you won't go home with me because I'm bald.
So she'll make out with you in public, but not take you back home.
Right. She'll actually show that she's willing to make out with a bald guy in public in front of a whole shitload of people, but privately, where you could actually show your skills, that's no good.
Right.
That's
apparently no good.
God. You should have turned around. Okay, I have two things you could have said to her. One is, so's your pussy, probably. So what?
But my asshole is hairy.
You could have been like, yeah, I know, because all my hair migrated down here, and you point at your crotch.
Yeah.
Right?
I would like the asshole, the hairy asshole line better. Yeah. That would have been a good one.
Well, that's because you are the king of saying inappropriate shit in front of women. The king.
Oh, are we gonna have that conversation again?
The roofie. Go on, the roofie.
No, we might as well have this on the air, since now it's gonna be recorded for posterity.
Right.
Mick and I are hanging out with these two chicks.
Within minutes.
Whatever happened to those girls,
by the way. We're sitting down, right? We're sitting down. Mick is actually talking to the hottest one, which was this Asian one. She was not interested in me at all. But she wasn't really interested in me either, but
we were talking for a bit. She was cute.
Yeah, but she talked to you more than she talked to me. I mean, she seemed to be into you more. So we're talking for a little bit or whatever, and I'm like, all right, you know, I want to go smoke a cigarette. So I'm going outside to smoke a cigarette, and these two girls are like, oh, we're going to come with you. So we go outside, and Mick goes, yeah, I'll be here to make...
She goes, the other one, she said to me, she goes, can you watch my drink for me while I go outside? And I was like, sure. And I said, I promise I won't roofie it.
He's argued with me about this for fucking months. I tried to explain to him that within minutes of meeting a chick, you don't bring the, not even in jest do you bring the word roofie into the equation.
Yeah, you didn't even talk about that you're a roofing contractor.
No roofies, nothing. No, I'm not a roofer. I don't roof. There's no roofing.
I was trying to be amusing. I could have, when she said, okay, can you watch my drink? I could have said, sure, sweetheart, have a good time. I'll be here.
You could have done that.
I just want to interrupt this. I want Mike to tell the story about when we were at the Batcave and you went to buy a girl.
No, I was going to. I swear to God, before the Mick story came up, I was going to tell that story. We'll segue into that. Anyway, point is, this is a great story. I can't remember if I told, but I know Louie knows the story because he was there.
I love it.
But the thing is, like, and they both, the reaction that they got, I went, oh, shit, when he said that. And they both There was like stony silence, and they just looked at him. I'm like, you motherfucker.
You ruined it.
The vagina strip tripled up at that moment.
If it's two chicks that we knew well and we were hanging out with, joke is fine. A couple chicks that we've had, like, a couple of hangout sessions with and we know them,
right.
Cool. Like, whatever. But, like, there's a grace period when you meet a girl that there should never be roofie jokes on the table, like, ever.
And
Mick, like a bull in a fucking china shop, was just like.
Well, see, if you want to get into a story session, see, I feel like I should be allowed to joke about roofies because I've actually been accused of giving someone roofies.
Let me tell the roofie story that I have, and then you can go off on that one because yours is actually kind of tragic and not funny.
It's really not funny at all.
No, it's not funny at all. It's really not. But so Lou and I and this kid RJ are out at the club. This club, the Batcave, in the city. It was a goth club at the time. And I meet this really fucking cute little piece of ass who's wearing like the silver wig or some shit. She was like crazy looking, like really hot, like
had perfect. The choker on the black nail.
Yeah, she's fucking perfect. So, like. You know, we're kind of hanging around near them, and honestly, I pulled, like, the total douchebag white guy move, which is, like, I tried dancing up on, like, two or three girls before, and they, of course, moved away.
Ran.
Right.
Just, like, no, they were graceful enough to kind of move away slowly. I did get the eye roll a couple of times first before they moved away. But this one, when I was kind of dancing, and I mean, I wasn't like crotch humping them. I was just, you know, dancing near them and like,
them.
Hey, what's going on? And they were done. They were like, as soon as they saw me, they were like, this kid shops at Hot Topic. I'm done. And they moved away.
Where else was I going to get those cool bowling shirts? Come on.
Dude, those shirts were awesome at the time. I'm sorry.
With the little chicks on the side. You know, the
chicks, you had the Elvis guitar shirt that everybody told you not to wear.
I love that one. It was, you know what it was? It was too big. It was like double extra large, and it was too big for me. That's the only.
And with your fucking great black greasy hair, you look like Fat Elvis. There was no reason for you to wear that shirt ever.
It was awesome.
Ever.
Huge guitar.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I meet this girl, and this kid RJ's gay, and she was there with her gay best friend also. So they kind of like we kind of moved away a little bit, and I was like, "Yo, RJ," I was like, "Yo, hook this up for me, dude. Like, talk to the friend or talk to her or whatever." So he goes, and he does exactly that, and he hooks it up for me, and he gets the girl's number for me. He pointed me out. He told her, you know, told her about me, whatever. So the gay connection worked for me, and I got the girl's number. So then I'm hanging out with her and her gay friend, and I'm totally chilling with the gay friend, which meant I'm fucking in. Like that's the best marker of getting in. I'm in.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do you guys want a drink? And I offered both of them a drink because I'm a fucking gentleman. That's me. And she goes, yeah, I'll get a drink, but I wanna come with you. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. She goes, yeah, I just want to make sure, you know, you don't put any roofies in my drink or whatever. Ha, ha, ha. And it was a joke.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So I bought her the drink, and then I kind of, like, things kind of died down a little bit, and I had her number, and she's like, call me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I never called her ass, because from the moment she said that shit, I start thinking, like, really? Am I the kind of guy that looks like he would need roofies? Am I a roofies kind of guy?
Yeah.
Well, and that thought followed me so much that, like, I could, I'm saying, like, I started coming up with all
sorts. Yeah, that's definitely a weird thing to say, yeah.
I actually started justifying reasons. I'm like, oh, she's in Long Island. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to have to travel that far. Like, I came up with so many reasons in my head not to call her. But the bottom line was, she thought I was a fucking roofies kind of guy.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
I'm not a roofies kind of guy, goddammit.
You are a lot of things, but you are not a roofies kind of guy.
Indeed. I've done a lot of things, too, but not roofies.
Well, she missed out, Mike. That's right.
You're right, though.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
See, Mick actually got accused of giving somebody roofies.
And the next day they woke up and
like,
whoa.
It's like the worst thing ever.
Asshole.
It's pretty much the worst thing you can ever be accused of. But, like, it's the worst feeling ever when you're accused of something and you didn't do it.
Of being a rapist?
Whether it be, cheating on somebody or, like, whatever. It's just, like, it's the most, like, angering, like, feeling.
I can imagine.
And especially when it's somebody who you know and you're supposedly, like, friends with or whatever. Oh, my God.
Well, so was she, like, passed out, and what was the scenario?
Here's what happened. She was a friend of mine, okay? And we were friends for a while before we ever, like, hung out. And, you know, we were friends probably for, like, a year or two before we ever actually hung out. Like, we knew each other. And we hung out a few times. And, like, nothing ever happened. Like, I thought she was cute. Like, I would have been down. But nothing ever happened. We were just, like, friends. We went out to the bar a few times, hung out, whatever. So, the last time we hung out, we go to the bar, and now, mind you, this girl is, like, 90 pounds. Like, she's, like, 4'10" and, like, 90 pounds. Like, she's, like, itty bitty.
So, two beers, and she's out for the count.
Well, exactly. So, we had two drinks, and all of a sudden, she's, like, we get to the third drink, and she is, like, already loopy, which is kind of weird because, I mean, she could somewhat handle her alcohol, but all of a sudden, for some reason on this night, it was not in the cards.
Mm.
So by the third drink, she's, like, stumbling around and bumbling. Now, me and her were just, like, hanging
bumble,
out.
Bumble.
Exactly. So we're just, like, hanging out and dancing and whatnot, and she finishes her third drink, and I'm like, I think we should get out of here because you're just about done. And she's like, no, I'm good. One more drink. And I'm like, I really don't think so. And she's like, Mickey, please, one more drink. She's like, finally begging me for another drink. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll get one more drink, and I'll go and get, I had to put money in the meter. And so I go to get the drink and go to put the money in the meter. So I'm gone for like probably 15 minutes.
Yeah. And in that I come back with
the fourth and final drink, and she takes about two sips of it and drops it on the floor.
Oh,
and I'm like not in a belligerent way, just in like a she's that out of it and can't like function kind of way. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. All right, now we definitely need to get out of here. So I'm trying to walk her out of the bar, and she's like dragging her legs. Like she cannot put one foot in front of the other. So I kind of like hold
Mick,
her up
Mick,
and walk
gotta,
her out
you
of the bar.
You got to speed up the story, Mick. Show's almost over.
2 seconds.
Oh, man. All right. Okay, so bottom line, we get in a cab because she can't drive because she's too wasted.
Yeah.
Right.
So we get in a cab. She passes out. I don't know where she lives.
Driving around
okay.
A drunken broad and don't know where she lives.
So I have the cab drop us off at my apartment. I carry her upstairs like a sack of potatoes to my apartment. I lay her on the couch. I take off her shoes. I put an Advil and a bottle of water on the table on the night, you know, the nightstand
wow.
Next to the table.
You were a
what a gentleman.
Stand-up guy.
Exactly. I swear to God nothing else happened, and that's exactly what I did. And I wake up the next morning, and she's gone. So I call her up, and I'm like, are you all right? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, what the hell happened last night? And she's like, I don't know. Why don't you tell me? And I was like,
oh!
What are you talking about? And she's like, what did you do? And you're like, right off the bat, what did you do to my drink? I'm
wow.
Like, excuse me? And she's like,
not
you must
that
have done
I'm
something 90 to my
pounds,
drink.
4 foot something,
right. I'm like,
and I
can't handle my drink. You must have something in my drink. I'm like, no, actually, I didn't.
All right, so let me. So we're about to close the show. So I have one question for you, Mick.
Okay.
Where did you get rupees in 15 minutes?
Yeah, really. Was there a guy in the bathroom? I mean,
I will never reveal my source.
That's
it. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Mick. I appreciate it. Love you, man. I'll give you a call soon. We'll hang out. We'll get some bitches roofied up and
let's do it.
Yeah.
We'll fuck each other in the ass over their passed out forms.
Well,
all right.
We just roofie each other and skip all this.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
All right,
later, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Later.
Later.